Welcome to the Bumblecast, everyone. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is co-host Kyle. Co-host Kyle, he's been doing this for a while, runs the show like a pro. Could I do it without him? Oh, hell no. Here he is. Here's the co-host Kyle. Here's the co-host Kyle.
I'm your friendly neighborhood audio guy. Is that a thing?
Yeah, why not? You're my maybe not neighborhood, but the internet is our big neighborhood.
This is our neighborhood. We're in the Bumblecast neighborhood. Everyone's in our neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day on the Bumblecast, boys and girls.
Don't you want to be in this beauty wood? A beautiful day for a beauty? Would you be mine?
You know what? That would be the most epic of crossovers. Mr. Rogers with Spider-Man. The lizard comes to his neighborhood. Spidey tracks him down, and Mr. Rogers is like, "Now, Mr. Lizard, that's not nice eating there, Mr. Mailman over there. Why don't you come in and talk about your feelings?" And then Kirk Connors like reverts back to normal just through some counseling from Mr. Rogers because he's that powerful.
Yes. Oh man, a crossover of Mr. Rogers with practically anything would be amazing. I don't know what it is. You could make him work with like anything. That'd be fun.
Is it a beautiful day in your neighborhood? How are you, Kyle?
You know, I'm hanging in there, man. Not a whole lot of excitement going on these days, other than some severed fingers. Not on my end, thankfully, but you know, the workplace is a bit dangerous, so be careful out there, kids. Don't get your fingers stuck in between large, heavy pieces of metal that are pressurized. It's very bad for you. So, don't do that.
Yeah. No. Mm-mm. No.
Yeah.
So, no.
Yeah. Luckily, not my fingers, but still.
I need you to run the show.
You don't want to do that. I don't need my fingers to do the show. I'll just bang my head on the keyboard. It'll be fine. It's what I do anyway. How are you doing, Ian?
Oh, I am busy, 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 busy. If you've been following the news, you know what I'm talking about. But, oh, so much stuff going on.
Yes.
But let's not talk about that because that's been, you know, on my mind all weekend, all the time, all 24/7. You know what would be great?
What's that?
If we gave somebody a prize. Let's do the Bumble Raffle.
Let's do the Bumble Raffle. Let's give you a prize. And by you, I mean you, the listener.
Now, Bumble Raffle is a contest we have on every episode where we just put in somebody's name and somebody wins a prize. Everybody gets the same chance. It's just our patrons over at patreon.com/Bumblecast get entered into every single drawing. And if you want to enter in by yourself, you just need to write into bumblecast@yahoo.com for every single show. So it's just a small, you know, perk for the patrons, but everyone gets the same chances. This show's winner is...
Ron!
Congratulations, Ron. We will contact you and figure out how we're going to send you your prize.
Just Ron. No fancy nicknames, no last name, just Ron.
Ron doesn't need no nicknames. Ron knows who he is.
That's all you need is Ron.
So for this Bumblecast, as you might be able to tell from the intro, we're going to be talking about one of the big cinematic blockbusters this summer, War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. What did you think of it, Ian?
Darn it, Kyle, why are you so agreeable? I can't get her hackle out of you. I can heckle, but you can't hackle. Ah!
I'm bad at this. I'm bad at this. I'm really bad at this banter thing. I know we've been doing this for 48 episodes, but like this back and forth thing just is really awkward. I'm like the socially awkward co-host, and
you are my guy in the chair.
Weird. It's weird. It's weird. So I'm just here running to audio, man. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on. I just work here.
We're talking about Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes. Yes, we are.
And we are going to be spoilerific. So if you have not seen it yet, and I would recommend seeing it, go ahead and skip ahead to the Q&A.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead and see it. But that's our main thoughts on it. Go see it. It's good. It's very good.
It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
So that's your nickel and dime review. Yes. Last spoiler warning.
Even if you are sick of Spider-Man and you have seen enough Spider-Man and you don't want to see any more Spider-Man ever again, give this one a shot because, yeah. If you're invested in the Marvel Cinematic Universe like I am, you definitely want to see it.
Even if you're not, even if I you're think not. It's a good standalone film.
Oh, absolutely. But for sure, even if you're like, I don't want to see any more Spider-Man, even though I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff, go see it. It's worth
it. If you're of my opinion and that they botched 5 movies in a row, they finally got it right on the 6th try.
You know, there are things to like about the other 5, but yeah, they really nailed it with this one, I think.
See, that's one of the things I was nervous about when I was going into it, was that a lot of the favorable reviews I saw said, it's the best one since Spider-Man 2 by Sam Raimi. And I'm like, that was really bad. So what is the litmus here? What is the bar we are setting?
I guess I guess Spider-Man 1 and 2 have not aged very well. I know they were...
They were kind of stanky on arrival, but...
I don't know. Spider-Man 3 was, for sure.
I mean, I will give the Raimi ones, I will give them all credit. Each of them did something right, mm-hmm. something entertaining. I mean, Go Web is still funny.
Yes.
I don't care who you are.
Yes.
I am one of the few people who actually liked William Dafoe's Norman Osborn. He had an interesting balance of trying to be a human while also being absolutely terrifying to look at.
I didn't realize that his performance was contentious. I loved him in that role. He was great.
Bonesaw!
Bonesaw is ready!
Where are you going? I got you for 3 minutes! Fantastic!
That's a star performance of the movie. It's a star performance of any Spider-Man movie. It's the best character ever.
Their interpretation of Dr. Octopus was interesting, well off the basis, but it was still an interesting and likable character.
Sure.
The train scene is one of the standout moments.
Mm-hmm.
The characterization of Sandman in the third one, excellent. Absolutely wonderful.
They should have just left Sandman as the only villain in that one, and it would have probably worked better.
And I will give Raimi credit where it's due. He didn't want to do Venom, and that was kind of more of outside influence, so...
Yeah.
And Gwen Stacy in the Garfield films. Get him.
Sorry. The way you said Garfield films. And now I'm just thinking of the actual Garfield films. I'm like, wait, she wasn't in this. Oh.
I hate Mondays. Flip.
Oh, man. But yes. Emma Stone. I love Emma Stone. I'll be real with you. Emma Stone is great. And Gwen Stacy? Gwen Stacy was my favorite character of the Garfield movies.
And full disclosure, I didn't see the second one because the first one was so bad I didn't want to waste my time or money. So.
Well.
But Homecoming. Truly Homecoming. That was spectacular. Amazing, even.
It is a true homecoming in multiple senses.
I mean, Holland's Parker is perfect. He's endearing and he's dorky. He's competent while also being fumbling. And he actually feels like a high schooler.
Yeah, finally. That's one of the things or the things that I didn't really care for a lot about the previous movies was Andrew Garfield and what's his face? Tobey Maguire. They seemed too old for the role. And
Maguire did all right for the part.
Oh, sure.
Age aside?
Yeah.
Garfield creeps me out. I really did not like his Parker. His Parker was a sleazeball.
Yeah, Garfield's Parker was rough. But I liked his Spider-Man. His Spider-Man was all right. Yeah, but Parker, no.
But Holland! Holland got it right!
Holland gets all of it right. He's the total package, as it were.
With the intro scene, where you've got Toomes and his crew, when they first kind of strike gold and realize, okay, we'll become supervillains.
Mm-hmm.
Before the opening credits rolled, I'm like, can we not do Spider-Man and actually watch these guys?
Yeah.
Because this is really interesting. I'm really engaged here.
Yeah. I want more Vulture Batman. I want more of that, please.
I mean, this has got to be the single best incarnation of Vulture in any Spider-Man media. I know it's very, very far off from the basis, but I think it's better because the basis is kind of dumb.
The basis is pretty silly, and it's the MCU, it's like it's trying to be a slightly more grounded, I guess, than the original source material in some ways. Depends on what movie you're watching, but
right.
But I think that it really, Vulture's portrayal just works really, really freaking well.
I think that's in large part thanks to Keaton's portrayal because, oh, remarkable.
Freaking Keaton, man. Keaton's always good. He's always good.
He walks that wonderful fine line of, oh, what a wonderful loving husband and father. And, oh my God, this guy's crazy. Don't let him near small children and puppies.
Yeah, he's very good at balancing that. It's
I don't know what it is about that smile that he can do, but it can be just so charming and disarming. And then he like raises an eyebrow or opens his eyes a little so the crazy glint comes out and you're like, ah, peed my pants.
The irony is he's playing the Joker almost in this movie. He's almost playing the Joker. Here's Batman as the Joker. It's perfect. Almost. Not quite. He's not that far off the deep end yet, but he gets there. I think he could do it now. He could do the Joker now.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, he could pull it off.
Fun little trivia detail that Leah pointed out to me after the show. So think back to when Peter's getting talked to by the principal.
Mm-hmm.
In that shot, you can very clearly see the photo of the principal's father in his military fatigues and, you know, war medals. That actor played one of the Howland commandos in Captain America.
Ah, yeah, yeah. I did.
He's playing the son of his own character.
Yeah.
I love that. That is great. It is this small little detail that, you know, they don't beat you over the head with it.
No.
But once you put it all together, it's like, oh, this universe actually continues. It's actually connected. It grows. It breathes. And I think that's what I like the best about Homecoming is that it's part of the cinematic universe, but it doesn't feel like it's bogged down in building up the phase 3, phase 4, whatever we're on. It's its own story set in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really just setting up. Well, it doesn't really set up much of anything now that I think about it. It seems like it's setting up Spider-Man becoming an Avenger, but then they kind of swerve that at the end, which I thought was actually kind of nice.
Yeah,
I do like a more grounded hero. So I think Spider-Man works best as someone who's more street level, slightly more street level.
Right.
A super-powered street level.
High-tier street level.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's part of why I enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 as well, is because it was a continuation of the characters and their story. It wasn't, here we're building up to the big thingy. No Infinity Stones, no Thanos teases, no... All the interconnectivity is just done for fun. They've established their universe. Now they can really get into the sandbox and play with the toys.
Yes, yes. One thing I really loved, though, was the opening in Homecoming.
With his cell phone
where he's doing cell phone videos of himself during the events of Civil War.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, man, I love this because it's like you get to see all the events. Well, most of the major events and stuff that he was a part of Civil War from his perspective. And he's finally quippy, which is really nice, because he's kind of been... Spider-Man in previous movies was, you know, quippy here and there, but not very talkative.
Finally, he's more like the hero makes quips, so have him say a quip here or there.
Yeah,
this time,
finally,
it's part of who he was.
Yeah, finally it feels a lot more natural, and it works really well, especially in that opening scene.
Speaking of feeling natural, another thing that stood out to me is this is the first time in a Spider-Man film it feels like we're in New York. You know? It feels like he's an actual high school kid interacting with other high school kids, and that is his life.
Oh,
the other ones feel like, here's Spider-Man, and here's the alter ego because that's part of the story, but here's Spider-Man! This one is, this is Peter Parker. This is his life. This is the struggle he has to maintain the dual identities, and these are the consequences for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, just makes the whole experience that much richer and more enjoyable.
Yeah, because it's not like they don't just focus on, hey, Spider-Man, he's in a movie. Look, Spider-Man, he's here. They realize that, oh, there's more to this character than just Spider-Man. And actually, there's the Peter Parker aspect of the character is probably the more interesting one, to be honest.
Yeah.
And that's kind of typical for superheroes, actually, for mostly for street-level ones, I guess. The alter ego tends to be a little more, you know, interesting, and the struggles that they go through as far as trying to maintain a dual identity. So, I like it. I like it a lot. What did you think about Tony Stark and his involvement in it?
I was very worried that he was going to be far too prominent, and it's like you said when you were telling me go see it.
Mm-hmm.
He's there to serve a purpose, but he does not get in the way of the film.
No, he helps the plot along a little, but he's not the driving force of the movie, which is what I was worried about. I was thinking, oh, this is going to be Iron Man 4 with his good buddy Spider-Man. No, nope, not really.
And given how Tony and Peter's interactions are already set up, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's organic enough where it's involved and how things play out.
Yeah.
When I went into this, I was expecting, you know, kind of the by-the-numbers Marvel film and be entertained, but, you know, not wowed. And I was just absolutely charmed by it. It felt like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it was just a really nice movie. It's just good. It's just good.
And all the little seeding they did throughout, like Prowler being in the film. You know, Spidey webs his hand to the trunk. This is ultimate version of Prowler.
Prowler. Okay, yeah. Yep.
And he says, you know, I got a nephew in town. That's Miles Morales.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. They are, in fact, setting up Miles Morales, I hope.
Betty Brant, you know, who part of the Daily Beagle, is part of the school's newscast.
Yeah, I recognized her name and was like, oh, yeah, there's the other... The other girl.
Olivia spotted a blonde with a telltale hairband and was like, that's got to be Gwen Stacy.
Uh-huh.
And I can't be sure, but she seemed too prominent in the background in a couple of scenes. A girl with, like, straight white hair dressing mostly in black.
Black Cat.
Gotta be. It's gotta be. There's unless it's just, like, meant to be a visual nod, in which case, cool, fine, whatever. But it seems too on the nose, you know?
Yeah. I'm down for some Black Cat. She should be in a movie. It's been too long.
Shoot, even Peter's, you know, basic outfit, his most basic, you know, once Tony takes the suit back. That right there is mostly the Scarlet Spider's old outfit.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore.
It really does look like Scarlet Spider, yeah.
I love the way that they set up the Rogues Gallery, what with the multiple Shockers, with Tinker, with Vulture, with Scorpion, and the rumblings on the interwebs, which I'm taking with a grain of salt, are that they're going to kind of continue the storyline in Sony movies. You know, I guess kind of separate of the MCU, I'm not certain.
It's been kind of batted around whether it's part of the MCU or not. We'll see.
But Tom Hardy has been cast as Eddie Brock / Venom.
Which I think is perfect casting.
Hardy can be absolutely terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Holland is adorable, and you root for him. You know, when he's trapped under the rubble, and he's crying, and he's scared, and he's hurt, and he's having that real, very human moment of panic, you just want to reach out on the screen and hug him. It's like, it's okay, Spidey baby! You're gonna make it! You cross those two over, that's gonna be the baddest asses of movie moments ever!
Oh, man.
I want Tom Hardy as Venom to be intimidating to Tom Holland's Spider-Man and just like bullying him, and it's going to be horrifying and it's going to be great. I cannot wait for that movie. Gimme, 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 gimme.
I just want to see a good portrayal of Venom.
That too. Would just be nice. Oh, the characterization interaction.
But Tom Hardy, though, it's good. It's really dang good casting.
I'm a little surprised, or not surprised. I should say that when Tony revealed the new spider suit, given the gold inlay, I almost expected them to go a little further in the Iron Spider route.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, too. It was going to be like more of an Iron Spider look, but not quite.
But maybe that would have gone so far beyond what's normally recognizable as Spider-Man to the common populace that it would have kind of undercut Peter saying no. Because if it's so clearly out of his range, then there wouldn't really be as much of a decision to make.
Right.
If it looks more like that's his costume, then you're like, oh, okay, I can see the temptation. Maybe. That's just me spitballing.
Yeah. I guess we'll see what happens with what role he'll play in the next Avengers movie, because he's supposedly supposed to be in it.
Right.
But
everybody's supposed to be in it.
Well, just about. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to like finally drag the TV universe kicking and screaming into there. the Netflix universe. They're going to finally bring those guys in. No, probably not. They're on TV. They don't matter.
Have you read the Infinity War Thanos story?
I haven't.
It's actually, it has aged fairly well, truth be told.
So I've heard.
And the beginning of it, as Thanos begins to exert his will across creation, has a lot of street-level moments.
Okay.
You know, as the world begins to fall apart, you see the street-level heroes trying their best to mitigate the disaster. So if they kind of follow those story beats, they have the opportunity to do that.
Okay, they can bring them in for, I guess, would be cameos, really, because there's, I guess, most of the street level heroes couldn't really play much of a huge role in the intergalactic war.
Well, that's the thing. Once Thanos really starts to throw down, it's a very one-sided fight. It doesn't matter who you are. You can't really do much to someone who has the literal power of God.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
I mean, when Hulk and Iron Fist do the same amount of damage, it really doesn't matter. It's a null set.
Oh, boy.
The other rumor flying around is, you know, a big plot point is they sell off Avengers Tower.
Oh, yeah.
There's another very famous Marvel family that lives in a tower, and the rumblings are that Marvel got back the movie rights for Fantastic Four.
That's a good point. Yes, indeed.
Which, on the one hand, who cares? On the other point, for those of you who are Fantastic Four fans, it would be nice if they got a good movie.
That would be nice.
And as Spider-Man has proven, it can happen.
Yes.
And we've only had three bad Fantastic Four ones, although I have heard Silver Surfer is watchable.
Rise of the Silver Surfer is... It's all right. It's all right.
You sound like you're looking at a burn wound going, it's not that bad, it's just peeling a little.
It's fine-ish. Never mind that... what's his face? Is a cloud? We'll ignore that. I was gonna say Thanos, but that's not right. It's the other one. I am horrible with names. I'm just horrible with names.
Galactus is what you're looking for.
Thank you. Giant guys who are purple. And they're like intergalactic planetary. Intergalactic, planetary. Anyway.
Intergalactic, planetary, intergalactic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, yeah.
But we're getting off topic. The point is, yes. Spider-Man is fantastic.
Yes. Go see it. Yeah. That's all you need to do. What did you think about the reveal of MJ?
I enjoyed it. I know that there are people up in arms going, she's not a redhead, or she was this, or she was that, and okay, fine.
She's not
to
even...
To a degree, I can understand if it was intrinsic to the character. Like, from my understanding of Danny Rand from Iron Fist, him being a white guy is, to me, somewhat intrinsic to his story because he is brought into another culture and through that exposure learns to become a stronger person in multiple ways.
Right. That's the character he's been forever.
I mean, it does fall in line with the great white hope trope, unfortunately, but if played right, if respectful to the culture that he is becoming a part of, it could work.
Sure.
Mary Jane not being a redhead is not intrinsic to the character. She's a model. So as long as she, you know, looks good when she hits her 20s, there you've got the breadth of the character right there.
She's not even Mary Jane. Her name is Michelle.
I know. So if you want to, you know, I've heard that they're kind of backpedaling on the MJ thing, that there might be a real Mary Jane, but whatever. To me, the film's MJ had more spunk and character and interesting interpersonal dynamics in her brief moment in the film than Mary Jane has had in a lot of the comic.
Yeah.
Because from what I've read, and granted, I've not read the entirety of the Spider-Man books. That's, I don't know if you can do that in a lifetime. But she has been largely either a token trophy wife character or incredibly unlikable. And I know that a great deal of effort has gone into making her an actual person within the book. So kudos to those writers for doing that. But at the same time, it's not like we're losing this hugely iconic part of Peter's life.
I'd argue Gwen Stacy.
I know the One More Day folks are foaming at the mouth at this point, but I would say that his relationship with Gwen is more iconic, and that's more for the next nap.
I would agree.
Which is a horrible thing.
Yes. And I like Gwen Stacy better.
Also, can we say thank you for them not bringing up Osborn for the third freaking time?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, no Osborn. Like, at all.
No Osborn, no Harry, no Oscorp, none of that. There's room to go into it, I'm sure.
There's, like, almost no Daily Bugle. Or was there any at all? I don't think there was.
Nope, don't think so. Unless there's, like, a newspaper on the stand somewhere that I missed.
Oh, yeah. I think there was that. But that was, like, that was it.
Which, you know, I really miss J.K. Simmons. Jameson.
Okay, he is the best performance of those movies. But
easily.
But
Bonesaw, without question.
Bonesaw is a close second.
Honorable mention.
No. He's not an honorable mention. He's second place. He's right up there behind J.K. Simmons. And I'm not joking because I freaking love Macho Man Randy Savage. But yes, J.K. Simmons. I would be. I don't know, man. He is like the perfect J. Jonah Jameson to me. It seems like it would be really difficult to recast him. Recast Jameson
anybody?
As somebody else. I don't.
I trust my barber.
Yeah. He's like, I can't see anybody else playing him. I can't. I'm sure someone could. And I look forward to the day when that happens. But I don't know, man. If they had to bring back one person from the other movies, it should probably be Bonesaw. And then J.K. Simmons.
And really, do we need the Bugle in this incarnation of Spider-Man? Because the whole point of him being a photographer for the Bugle was, one, to earn money.
Right.
Which, he's got Tony's sponsorship.
Pretty much, yeah. He doesn't really need him.
Two, it was to keep track of, you know, crimes within the area so that he could, you know, stop them.
Yeah, but now he has a
fancy
suit.
Anyone with a cell phone can do that now.
Yeah, but now he has a fancy suit and a cell phone, so he's set.
Right.
So it's not really necessary, but I still kind of want to see J.K. Simmons again.
Maybe if it was more of a subplot with, you know, the smear campaign, that still works.
Right.
That's a fun dynamic, but you don't need Peter involved in the Bugle.
No. I agree. So I think with that, we'll say go see it, which we already said several times. But
yes, that's because it is fantastic.
But that's how adamant we are that you should go see it. Go see it. And with that, I think we will swing on over into the Q&A.
I see what you did there.
If you want to ask us questions on the Q&A, you can head on over to Twitter, use the hashtag BumbleCast, hit us up via email, podcast@yahoo.com, or go comment or send us a message through Patreon, patreon.com/BumbleCast. And don't forget, you can support us on the BumbleCast, too, on Patreon. So do that.
You don't need to give us a lot. Just $1 a month. $12 a year still helps us out.
$12 a year for all this content that we do? Weekly content?
All this content and more.
Ooh, and more.
Ooh. And we realize that things are tight and tough for everybody. Believe me, we know. But, you know, if this is the whole idea behind crowdfunding. When the crowd gives a tiny bit, it adds up real quick.
Yeah,
and we would love to be able to do this show as our job.
It would be really awesome to be able to do just things. Just put out all the content for you guys. Regardless of what it is, whatever you guys want us to do, we'll do it for a price. That price could be as little as $1 a month.
I think we've shelled enough. More, let's move on to the priority Q&A.
Or less, but... Yeah. Anyway, yes, priority Q&A right here on this edition of the BumbleCast. This first one comes from our good buddy and show regular Sam's Cybercat.
How you doing, Sam?
Play it again, Sam. Wait, that's not a quote. That's an incorrect quote. Anyway, I feel like it's been out long enough for this to not be spoiler territory now. So if you got the chance, then how would you go about a Breath of the Wild comic?
Ooh, that would be a toughie.
Cut out all of the wandering. All of the
aim. But that's the thing. The wandering is part of the charm, you know? The discovery, the aimless wandering and making your own path.
I guess, but he's Link, not Wanderer from Shadow of the Colossus. So come on.
I guess it would depend on how much of time I had with the project. If this was kind of like a manga styled story where you could spend a lot of time on the panoramic scenery shots and let the story unfold at a very decompressed rate, I'd like to kind of follow Link's journey in a very natural or an organic way and maybe work his way counterish clockwise around the map.
Mm-hmm.
Ish.
That's about, I think that seemed like it's about how it went.
If it were more concise, like a straight to trade type of thing, I would rather approach it as more like small vignettes, small stories focusing on key moments throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
And for the love of God, just make the Ganon fight better.
You could improve it with a comic. You could improve it with a semi-static media.
Yeah, easily.
I was surprised.
Because the final boss is pretty much static media anyway.
I was surprised when I watched a playthrough of it. I didn't play through it myself, but I was surprised at how, like, really just anticlimactic the final battle was. It is.
It's really and weird. I love the game so much because everything leading up to it is so satisfying on every level. And then the final boss is like, hi.
Yeah.
I'm a big old fire pig. Don't shoot me in my eyeballs.
Oh, you shot me in my eyeballs.
You fell off your horse? Well, I'll just stand here and wait for you to get back on. Triforce of Wisdom, he ain't.
No. Arguably may not even have a Triforce of Power.
He's the space between the Triforces.
Ah, so that's what's in there. That makes sense. This next question comes from Chris A. Why did you have Sally roboticized again, which had already happened before?
To make better use of the concept. Roboticized Sally was there and done in an issue... Yeah. And then they even forgot that they had a portable roboticizer until Mecha Madness, and then they completely changed designs. So,
continuity in the early Sonic comics? What?
It's less likely than you think.
What is this? What do you think this is?
So the idea was supposed to, you know, really take the idea of Sally, the tactical brains of the team and making her into a killer robot, and really play with the terror and the challenge that that would present. Sure. Unfortunately, it didn't quite pan out that way, but so it goes.
Yeah, unfortunately. Kind of ended that one, kind of cut that one off at the knees, I suppose. That's okay. I think I like what we got out of it. And let's move into some of the standard Q&A. This one comes from good old Bucellarian Theme. Has Avalon voted to leave the Eurasian Union in order to pursue greater freedom in its international trade and relationships?
I see what you did there. And no, because it's technically ruled by Hood, who is the puppet of Eggman, so it's quite firmly and snugly cemented into the Eggman Empire.
What would that be called? Like, Avaleave? Or Avaleft? No, I like Avaleave.
Is the Eggman Empire giving you a headache? Vote for Avaleave.
Vote Avaleave.
Vote Avagon.
Avagon. Oh, that's a good one. That's a better one than I had. Dang. Avagon. that is a good one. That's better. Yeah, I like that. Next one comes from Panda's Tea Room. I've always wondered how would Count on the Chaos have played out had you gone with your original intention to have the new timeline completely clean cut from the old one?
It probably would have played out fairly similarly. The idea behind Countdown to Chaos was to reintroduce each of the Freedom Fighters in their new designs in the new world and set up the explosion of the planet and do the whole Sonic Unleashed thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the main plot beats probably would have been the same. It's just we wouldn't have had the baggage of the Remembrance stuff.
Which didn't last that long from what I remember anyway.
No, I killed and buried that as fast as I could.
Yeah, yeah, so...
Beat it with the shovel on the way down.
So it really wasn't, I don't know, it just didn't really... It seemed like a non-issue once that issue was done. Which I think it was only like one issue where that was really a thing for the most part. So, that makes sense. And finally, we got one last question here from Fleet Booth Matt. Most of the game cast has shown up in the comics since the reboot, but not the Babylon Rogues. Any plans for them?
Yeah. I did have plans for them in a kind of goofy villains... not showdown, but farcical heist with the hooligans.
Mm-hmm.
But can't really get into that a lot right now because things are the way they are. Mm-hmm. But I did have some plans for the Rogues. And I might have more plans in the future. You never know. Knowing smile. Hashtag knowing smile. There we go. Nah, screwed it up. Never mind.
Anyway, that's all I got for questions this week, Ian. Is there anything else we need to touch on before we head out with our
Patreon? We need to say thank you to all the wonderful patrons who keep this show afloat.
Yes, we do.
So let's give a big shout out to Daniel H., Zephyr Flame, Chris A., Damo, John B., Sam Cybercat, Mike B., Connell T., Samuel P., Justin G., Jennifer R., Diane W., Lee H., James G., Chevelle, Don B., Clinton H., Sin Fritz, Fropman, Candelicious Cartoons, John M., Ashivarovich9X, Alex P., James K., and Ron. Whew, it's getting a little hard to read all those all in one go.
All right, and Ron, you got a thing. Congratulations.
Yep, congratulations, and welcome to all the new folks who have joined the Bumblecast. Your contributions are deeply appreciated.
Yes, indeed.
If you want to follow what I've got going on and all the news that's flying around, go to bumbleking.com or find me at Twitter at IanFlynnBKC.
And if you're interested in what I'm doing, which is a little less exciting right now, but that's all right. You can find me on Twitter at KyleJCRB or find archived episodes of this show and many others over at KNGI.org, including my other show, Nitro Game Injection, which is all about awesome remixed and rearranged and covered video game music. Go check it out, streaming live every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on 8bitx.com. Or you can find the archives at kngi.org, along with lots of other cool stuff.
Patrons, don't forget to join us every Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Bumblecast Gaming Live, where just you get to hang out with us as we play some video games.
Yeah, video games. I like video games. I don't get to play them.
Video games are a wonderful waste of time.
I don't get to play them nearly enough anymore.
Yeah, well, isn't that life?
Yeah, typical.
That's going to wrap us up for episode 48 of the Bumblecast. We will see you in 2 weeks for Bumblecast episode 49. And we'll see you next Monday for Bumblecast Gaming.
We're closing in on episode 50. What's going to happen?
We'll have to do something special for that.
What's going to happen? I don't know. Interesting. Maybe it'll just be another regular show. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Only 30 minutes.
Only 30 minutes? Okay, yeah, we'll do a short show even.
Yeah, sure, why not?
We'll make it the shortest show ever.
Welcome to Bumblecast episode 50. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
We'll cut that for time.
No, that's okay. We can leave it in. We'll give a little bit more content. It's a little more incentive, you know? That's what the people want these days. They want content. They want content. They want things they can listen to. They want things they can digest through their eyeballs and their ear holes. That's what they want. That's what they need. That's what they desire. We will give it to them.
I don't know what illicit drug you're on, but I want some.
I don't know what I'm on either. It's Does, soda count as an illicit drug?
Yeah, it works for me.
I guess it depends on what state you're in. Oh! I don't know where we're going with this.
We've got plenty of end material at this point.
That's fine. That sounds like a horrible idea.
I'm glad you like it.
Okay.
you know, perk for the patrons, but everyone gets the same chances. So, this day.
Who is it?
Holy crap.
Uh oh. What?
Went over to Twitter and, like, my notifications read 99 plus.
Oh! Oh no!
Oh. And it's already been like that once today. So.